We will have music practice tonight for those of the worship team that are here at 6 o'clock tonight. So if you can be here for some worship practice. If you can't, let us know, and if it doesn't work out, we'll rearrange to fit everybody's schedule. Amen. Hallelujah. Wade right in. Hallelujah. I mean, sometimes you know you got to wade right in to that living water. Hallelujah. When the prophet told Naaman to go down and dip in the Jordan seven times, I mean, it took a response on his part. I say it took a response on his part. Amen. Hallelujah. God can speak. God can make preparation. He can make an avenue. He can make everything available to you. But I mean, sometimes you got to step into what God's called you to do, what God's prepared for you. Hallelujah. The scripture says that Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. How many know grace is not a new message? We think sometimes it's the new message, it's the new thing. I'm not sure how we got so far away from the original message, amen, of grace. But the scripture says Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. And Hebrews declares that he was saved by water. Hallelujah. Now we know when God began to speak to Noah, it took some preparation on his part. He said, I want you to build a boat for the saving of your household. Hallelujah. I mean, I believe that you can build structures. You can build things that work to the saving of your household. Amen. Hallelujah. That we need to respond when God begins to speak his words into our heart, and when he declares a word or declares it a season or declares something. I mean, those things are not by chance. They're not just by chance, not just passing words. We got to grab a hold of those things. We got to seize the moment. We got to grab a hold of the promises of God and begin to put in action those things God has already activated in our hearts. Amen? Hallelujah. And so as we wade right in, amen, to that living water, and let the song says, let his mighty spirit take control. How many are ready for the Spirit of God to take control of your life? Amen. Hallelujah. When it seems like we're out of control, how many know he's still got control? It may seem out of control to you, but he's still got control. Amen. When the boat was being tossed about and he was asleep in the hinder part of the ship, how many know he still was in control? Hallelujah. The disciples were out of control. You ever been out of control in your life? You ever let fear dictate where you are or how you respond? Thank you, Robin. Sometimes you're out of control. Sometimes emotions get out of control. How many know situations get out of control? Fear gets out of control. And how we respond to it sometimes, we can do one of two things. We can either say, I think I'm going to perish, and we can try to hang on and batten down the hatches and ride out the storm and fight it all we want to, or we can find the man who is at rest in the midst of our ship and say, I'm just going to snuggle up beside the man who is at rest. I'm not fighting the storm, because if this boat goes down, he's going down in it, so I'm going to find out whatever place he's in, and I'm going to get in that place. How many know sometimes you can fight it all you want to, and what you really need to do is just yield to the place where he is and say, Lord, I'm going to crawl in beside you. Hallelujah, because if you're at rest in this storm, I'm going to be at rest in this storm. And they went down to him and said, Master, don't you care that we perish? Now, I dare say the disciples were not the only one that's made that declaration. Lord, don't you care that I perish? Don't you care that I'm sinking? Don't you care that I'm struggling? Don't you care that I'm afraid? Don't you care that I'm fearful? Hallelujah. I don't know about you, but I've said that before. Lord, don't you care? Hallelujah. Once, yeah. At least once. Because we respond out of what we know. We respond out of what we see. Hallelujah. You know, the minister down in Georgia this week, and one of the things he said is when Mary came to the tomb and saw the empty tomb, how many know her heart was broken? She didn't go leaping and shouting and rejoicing and praising God. Her heart was broken. She come to see who had stolen her Lord, who had taken away my Lord. And she comes to Jesus and she said, if you have taken him someplace, the scripture says, supposing him to be the gardener, if you've taken him someplace, tell me where you have laid him, then I can go and find him. And the scripture says, Jesus does not respond to her into her question. He responds to her by calling her name. He says to her, Mary. How many know we don't need to respond by what we see? We need to respond by what we're hearing by the Spirit, by the voice of God. And if we'll respond more out of what we are hearing than out of what we are seeing, hallelujah, how many know we'll come in contact with him who has everything under control? Hallelujah. You know, I was thinking a portion of Scripture, and we always talk about, you know, the message of Peter walking on water. What an incredible thing. To be able to walk on water. Amen? Anybody in here ever walked on water? Almost a time or two. Yeah. We got one over here for just a second. Just a second. We'll have repentance here in a little bit. Hallelujah. I've walked on some wet floors. You know, some of those kind of things. But, you know, I listen, we see that portion of Scripture, and we know that Jesus comes walking to them on the water. And we look at the thing and we say, man, Peter gets out of the boat. You know how incredible that is. But we got to stop for a moment and say, Jesus come walking to him on the water. I mean, it's possible to walk on water, evidently. Jesus said, greater things than these shall ye do. Hallelujah. And my question in that, I was thinking, pondering on that portion of Scripture this week, is at what point in our life, at what point in our journey did we forget that we can walk on water? See, what happens is sometimes we have the faith to get out of the boat. We have the faith to make the first step or so, but somewhere in the journey, how many know our eyes get focused on something other than Jesus? Our eyes get focused on something other than his incredible, miraculous ability to cause us to walk on water. And somehow in our journey, sometimes we forget that we can walk on water. Hallelujah. I mean, no, Peter made the step out of the boat. Now, he gets criticized a whole lot for taking his eyes off of Jesus and for sinking in the water. And Jesus grabs his hand and says, O ye of little faith, wherefore ye didst thou doubt? But how many know he's the only one that we know of that got out of the boat? Hallelujah. So whereas we want to criticize him for being fearful or for going under, he got out of the boat. He made a step of faith. He walked to Jesus on the water. All the rest of them can say everything they want to do. And when they write their diaries or when their obituary was read, the only one that can say, I walked on water, was Peter. Hallelujah. I mean, it takes some faith sometimes to walk through some things. It takes some faith sometimes to step out of a boat. And don't be fearful of the times that you go down under. Amen. Praise God for the times you were successful on the top. Hallelujah. All of us have failures and difficulties. You know, I ministered on Wednesday night and shared in our Bible study back there. And we always talk about Thomas. What do you know about Thomas? That he was a doubter. Oh, doubting Thomas. And we have one little scripture in all of the Bible, one snapshot of Thomas, and for 2,000 years, we have labeled him a doubter because he said, unless I see the nail prints in his hands and in his side, I cannot believe. And for 2,000 years, he has worn the label as doubting Thomas. Isn't that how we respond sometimes to people if we're not careful? We label them by one clip shot of what we know of them or what we think we know of them, when really we need to go back and see Thomas did not ask for anything that the other disciples had not already seen and done. Jesus came to them and said, look at my hands, look at my side. They had already seen in that. Thomas said, I need to see that same thing. I need to see that. And because he asked for the same thing that everybody else had already received, for 2,000 years we've labeled him as Thomas the doubter. I mean, Thomas was a very effective evangelist in India, died a martyr's death. He was a twin. He was a builder. He had a ministry outside and above and beyond that 1 5-minute clip. But when we ask what we know about him, that's what we know. Amen. I want to tell some of you this morning, quit measuring yourself by that 1 5-minute moment of doubt, that 1 5-minute clip, that 1 minute snapshot of where you maybe started to sink under the water, or maybe where you questioned God a little bit, or maybe you had a little bit of failure, you struggled somewhere, somehow in your life. Quit measuring yourself by 1 5-minute statement and start measuring how big your God is. Hallelujah. And we need to come to the place where we quit putting labels on people as failures or successes or whatever it is we want to label people. And just, you know, we declare this morning, the mercies of the Lord are new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness, O Lord. Hallelujah. His mercies are new and they begin every morning. Whatever happened to you yesterday was yesterday. Leave it in yesterday because his mercies are new every morning. This is a brand new day. Hallelujah. His faithfulness, his mercy to you begins every day, hallelujah. You know, I've preached the message of Peter so many times about where the rooster crows, and Peter goes away sorrowful, and he hears the sound of the rooster, and even though that Jesus had warned him and said, Peter, before the cock crows, you're going to deny me 3 times. I mean, you know, that's a tough response because Peter just said, Lord, I'll die with you. I'll go to the cross with you. And I believe with every fiber of my being that Peter meant every word that he said. Hallelujah. I mean, sometimes we can confess it and bless it and say it and do all these kind of things, but in a moment of weakness. Anybody in here ever had a moment of weakness? Hallelujah. But in a moment of weakness, Peter did exactly what Jesus said he was going to do. And the scripture says, and he went away sorrowful. In his own failures, in his sorrow, and at the sound of the rooster, he realized what he had done. How many know something? Nobody else probably heard the sound of the rooster that day like Peter heard it. But what the rooster come to do was not to tell on Peter. He didn't come to reveal Peter's sin. He didn't come to make an embarrassment of Peter. What the rooster comes to announce is it's a brand new day. When you hear the sound of the rooster in the morning, that means it's morning, folks. I just saw the sun come up. It's a brand new day. What was yesterday, leave it in the past, and today walk in a brand new day. Hallelujah. We are thankful that we have the opportunity to walk in a brand new day. What was yesterday. Hallelujah. And the rooster comes to crow. The rooster comes to tell you it is a brand new day. Hallelujah. And so Peter walked in a realm where he had never walked in a realm of forgiveness that he did not even know or understand fully as we see his life begin to unfold, even over the next period of days and some of the things that we've talked about here in the last couple of weeks. How many know Peter's the one who's all of a sudden now asleep in a cell with 16 soldiers guarding him? While his church folk are home having a prayer meeting, praying that Peter will get delivered out of prison. What kind of man sleeps behind bars with 16 soldiers, but a man who's had an encounter with Jesus? A man who has a past and has a future. Hallelujah. I mean, no, your past does not have to dictate your future. Your history is your history, but your future starts today. It starts a brand new start, a brand new day, hallelujah, that we can walk in with Christ. I mean, you know, Peter was a transformed man by the time we see him in the jail cell. He's one of them on the boat crying out, Master, don't you care that we perish? But I mean, you know, when we see Peter in a jail cell with 16 soldiers guarding him, he's asleep. Somehow in his journey, he's found a place of rest. He's found to trust his life into the hands of the Almighty God. He's learned how to trust God in situations, saying, I've been in worse places than this. I've been in worse situations than this. Hallelujah. And as a matter of fact, I think I can walk on water. Hallelujah. I mean, sometimes you got to remember. You got to remember some past victories. You got to remember some past deliverances. You got to remember those times when Jesus have come through for you and brought you through so many times. Anybody, God ever done anything for you in here today? Hallelujah. If he's done it for you before, he's going to do it for you again. His mercies are new every morning. They don't run out. Hallelujah. They don't expire. Aren't you glad for that today? Hallelujah. I'm thankful for the mercies of God. I'm thankful that he doesn't measure me by those little clip shots of moments of doubt or unbelief or failures in our lives. Hallelujah. Probably a couple of you have had some failures here in your life in some point or time or another. Maybe one or two of you probably in here once or twice maybe had a moment like Thomas did, a moment of unbelief. Thank God they didn't write chapters about you. Scriptures and books were for thousands of years. People know all about your failures and your shortcomings. Amen. Aren't you glad it's not publicized when we have those moments of doubt or those moments of failure? Hallelujah. I want to go to Romans 5, start about verse 15, if you would, Carlin, this morning in the Message Bible. And I'm going on into Romans 6. Hallelujah. I mean, we've been talking the other week when I was here. We started a little bit talking about baptism, because we're going to do a baptism service here coming up. And, we do some observances, I'll say it like that, in the church. We do some ceremonial type things, what I guess I would call them. But how many know when we do communion, when we do baptism, when we do some of those kind of things, those are outward symbols of an inward work of what God is doing in you. Amen. Our actions, it's not our actions of doing them that saves it. It saves us. It is our understanding of what we're doing. In other words, when we come up to take communion and we partake of the Lord's body, it is not that bread or that grape juice that saves you. Amen? It is the understanding that it is symbolic of His body which is broken for us and His blood that was shed for us. And as we partake of that, we become what He is, and we become in Him and in Christ. As Christ is in us, we are in Him. Amen? And so, we do those as an outward sign and observance to remind ourselves that we have partaken of the Lord's body. Amen? Yes. Baptism is one of those same things. It is an outward sign of an inward work. It's an outward declaration of something God is doing inwardly in you. Now, if you do not understand baptism, if you don't know what that's all about, and you submit yourself to baptism in through faith, God will bless you in all of that. But how many know you just go down dry and come up wet if you don't really understand what you're doing? But what we're doing when we're doing baptism is we're making a public declaration before everybody that we know that we are being buried with Christ and we are being resurrected with Him into a life anew. Amen? Every one of us have to understand the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. How many know Jesus was baptized? Symbolically, before He ever died on the cross, He was baptized. And John came to Him and said, "Oh no, Lord, no, I won't baptize you. I have need to be baptized of you. Why do you ask me to be baptized?" And Jesus said, "Let it be so, John, that the scriptures might be fulfilled." I'm telling you, there was something profoundly awesome that happened on the shore on the banks of Jordan that day when John comes preaching a message that says, "Prepare ye the way of the Lord, make His path straight, repent and be baptized for the remissions of sin. But there is one who is coming, who is mightier than I, whose shoes I'm not even worthy to unlatch. He's going to baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire. There is even something greater than this natural little literal baptism that John was about to do." Hallelujah. And how many know as Jesus steps up to the Jordan River and John looks at Him, He says to the people there, "Ladies and gentlemen," well, He didn't say that, but I will say it like this, "Ladies and gentlemen, behold the Lamb of God," what? "Who takes away the sin of the world." The man I've been preaching about is in our midst. I'm not going to just baptize him, but this is the very Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. How many know the people in that congregation and in that gathering with them that day understood what a lamb was? They understood about the Lamb of Sacrifice. They understood the temple. They understood the Lamb that would take away the sins. But how many know standing before them was the Lamb that was slain from the foundation of the world, the perfect Lamb of Sacrifice, standing on the shore of Jordan? John says, "Behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world." And I declare to you, when an old covenant prophet grabs a hold of the hand of a new covenant prophet, hallelujah, the scripture tells us says that the heavens opened and the Spirit of God descended in the form of a dove, and the voice from heaven said, "This is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased." Hallelujah. I mean, the declarations from the heavens, there's something that happens in the heavens when we understand the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world, and when we submit ourselves to baptism. How many know the heavens are open to us? Amen. Our earthly Joshua stepped into the Jordan River hundreds of years before with a mercy seat. And when he does, the scripture says that the waters roll all the way back to the city of Adam. Hallelujah. And they walked across on dry ground. I submit to you today that when our heavenly propitiation, our heavenly mercy seat, steps into the water this day, the waters don't roll back, but something greater happens. The heavens roll back and are opened, and the Spirit of God descends and says, "This is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased." Hallelujah. How many know something incredible happened? And again, the waters are rolled back all the way to the city of Adam. Hallelujah. How many know Jesus come to put the curse in reverse? No longer do we have to live under the sin or the curse of Adam, but we can be made new through the life and the blood of Jesus Christ. And when we go down in baptism, when we are buried with him in baptism, we are saying, "I am being buried with him just as he was crucified, buried, died. I am being buried with him in baptism, and I am being resurrected a new creature in Christ Jesus. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things become new." Everybody say all things.
All things.
How many things?
All
things become new. You are indeed a new creature in Christ Jesus. That comes when we recognize and confess Jesus as our Savior, and when we identify with his death, burial, and resurrection. Hallelujah. Some of the greatest experiences you will ever experience in your life is the moment you give your heart to Jesus. Amen. And I don't know that we necessarily ask Jesus to come into us as much as we come into him, or however it all works, but how many know there is a confession? You have to come to the place where you say, "I know I need a Savior." How many in here can remember the moment you accepted Jesus into your heart? That moment when you encountered the very presence of the Lord and you knew beyond a shadow of a doubt that something inside you had changed. Hallelujah. And then one of the other greatest experiences is our moment in baptism where we say, "You know what? I am publicly burying that person that I used to be. I am not the same old person that I used to be." Hallelujah. And what I caution you is, do not dig him back up. We think we still have a problem with our old man. But how many know we buried him? And do not dig him back up. Your old man has no power over you. Your old man is dead. Hallelujah. Dead is dead. Amen. Now, how many know sometimes we struggle with an immature new man, but our old man is dead. Our old nature. How many can say that God changed who I was? He changed my nature. He changed my disposition. He changed my desires. He changed my direction. He changed the person that I used to be. Amen. Hallelujah. That there is a change that takes place. And the moment that we connect and realize that person no longer lives, not I, but Christ that lives within me. Hallelujah. Don't give place to the devil in your life. He has no authority, no power over you, neither does your old man. Amen. Every now and then we struggle with an immature new man, and we're growing up into him. Amen. Hallelujah. But you know, immaturity is not a sin. When your baby learns to walk and they fall down, that's not a time for punishment. Amen? That's a time for instruction. That's a time for help. That's a time for telling them, you know, now you got to do this again. You get them back up. You get them on your feet. You help. You instruct them. You teach them. And before you know it, they've got walking under control all by themselves. Amen? Hallelujah. But then there's the potty training issue. So then we got to do some teaching there, and we got to work on that potty training issue. Amen. There's some teaching. How many of you had to train your children in some things? Amen. I spent a whole lot of money on Reese cups before I got my second child, learned how to potty train. It was worth every Reese cup. That she is a very disciplined child. She's a perfectionist in what she does, but she was almost 4 years old before I got her potty trained. And I would say to her, if you go to the potty, I'll give you a Reese cup. And she'd say, but I don't want one. And that was her response to me. And so we went through this thing. You know, I had to teach her how to be potty trained. Amen. My first one, she's here today, she was real easy. Had her trained in a week, 19 months old. She's potty trained. We were good to go. I thought I had parenting all figured out. I was just the best mom in the world. Man, I had that under control. Then I hit baby number two, and she changed all my philosophy on child rearing. And all of a sudden, I had to teach different. How many know in the church, we got to teach people differently according to where they come from and some of their personalities and things. Amen. She had a Bobo when she was a little girl. It was a pillow that she carried around. She sucked her thumb, carried her Bobo. Bobo went everywhere with us. I paid her $5 to get rid of Bobo. We put it on the memo board, said, now, when you quit sucking your thumb, because when you get to kindergarten, they don't want you to suck your thumb anymore. You got to stop doing this. But until she had the desire to change it, it couldn't be changed. I could take her thumb out of her mouth all I wanted to, but what I had to do was displace her desire for sucking her thumb with her desire to get the money off the memo board. Amen. I mean, sometimes you got to displace some behaviors with something greater, something higher. There's a higher calling to you. You're above those things. And sometimes you got to learn to come up to a higher place. Hallelujah. We still have Bobo in the closet. She doesn't know it, but I know we still got Bobo because she thought she lost it. She thought she lost it, and she did. We told her we lost it, but then we found it, and we didn't share the secret that we found it. And so she was able to get away from Bobo. But how many know we had to train some things? We had to teach some things. I didn't punish her for dirtying in her pants because that's where she was in her life, but I had to teach her to come up to something higher. There's something greater for you. There's something higher for you, because if you get to kindergarten and do this in front of all your friends, it's not going to be cool. Trust me. You want to come out of this place where you are. You can learn to do something bigger, greater, better. I mean, we have to learn some things in God. I'm still learning how to walk sometimes. I'm still learning how to come up to a higher place. But thank God for people who gave me place, who gave me purpose, who gave me a chance to try and fall and then pick me back up and say, no, you got this, you got this. I know it's in you. You may not be walking in the way you want to in fullness, but you're going to get there. You're going to get there. And how many know we have to do that with folks? We can't judge them by a 5-minute clip shot. Hallelujah. We've got to be able to give them grace to walk. We've got to give them purpose. We've got to give them a chance to learn things. Hallelujah. And what we are so quick to do sometimes is cast people away or cast ourselves today, cast self away. You know what? We are harder on ourselves probably than most people are. So many times we live out of what we think people think about us. When we really knew what we'd think, we'd find out they have a whole lot more thought or respect for us than what we think they do. Amen? I don't know about you sometimes, but I am my own worst critic. I'm probably harder on myself than anybody else is, and I'm harder, you know, I probably view myself harder than other people do. Amen? So sometimes we can be our own worst stumbling block. We can be our own worst critic because we hold ourselves back sometimes by our perception of what we think other people perceive, when really it only matters what he thinks. Amen? And I come to tell you, he thinks way more highly of you than you do of yourself most of the time. He thinks more of you than you even know. He declares in his scripture, you are altogether lovely, my dove, my fair one. Hallelujah. If you ever read the Song of Solomon, you'll find out he is a romantic. You'll find out he likes to lavish his bride. You'll find out he cares about you. You'll find out he loves you. He thinks you're beautiful. The lady in Song of Solomon starts out by saying, I am black. I have let my own vineyard go because I worked out in the vineyards of those who I have been a slave to or servant to. And he begins to say to her, but you're altogether lovely, my dove, my fair one. And by the end of the Song of Solomon, he's convinced her that she's the apple of his eye, that whoever touches her touches the apple of his eye, and that whoever bothers her bothers him because he thinks there is none like his beloved. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I want you to know today, he thinks very highly of you. This is my beloved son in whom I am well pleased. Hallelujah. One of the other experiences that is an incredible experience in our walk with Christ is the infilling and the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Amen. I mean, you know, the scripture says that when the disciples came and saw Jesus, that he said, "See my hands and see my side." And he says, and he breathed on them and they received the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. How many know the Spirit of God lived and resided and dwelled in them? We see the encounter and the experience of the speaking in tongues on the day of Pentecost, a manifestation of the Spirit that was already in them. Hallelujah. I want you to know today the Holy Spirit's already in you. You just need to release it and let it go. Hallelujah. You just need to manifest the presence and the speaking of tongues and the Holy Ghost. Jesus, John says, and he will come and he will baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire. Hallelujah. How many know it is the fire? It is the dynamite power of God in your life. My grandmother used to say, I like those preachers who got the far. They got to have the far, she'd say, and she would go, whew, that was her idea of getting stirred up. When she'd get stirred up and the Holy Ghost would really be moving in the service, she'd see Grandma over here, and she'd start doing the whoo, 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 and then we'd preach it. That was Grandma getting fired up in the Holy Ghost. That was about as wild as I ever saw her get, but wouldn't she, Brother John? She'd say, whoo, whoo, that would be the Holy Ghost over Grandma, and then when we'd get done the service, she'd say, boy, that preacher, he really had the far, didn't he? That means the Spirit of God was moving in the service because he had the far, not the fire, the far. So you got to have the Holy Ghost and with far. Hallelujah. Love my grandma. Hallelujah. Romans 5:15 says, yet the rescuing gift is not exactly parallel to the death-dwelling sin. You got to know that this morning, that his rescuing gift is not even parallel to the death-dealing sin. It was so much greater. If one man's sin put crowds of people at the dead-end abyss of separation from God, that's what Adam did. Amen? Just think what God's gift poured through one man, Jesus Christ, will do. There's no comparison between the death-dealing sin and this generous, life-giving gift. That scripture says there's no comparison to it. Why is it that we still think that sin has more power over us than God does? We think if we say something wrong, or we, you know, something comes out of our mouth that's wrong, that it's so much more terrible. We believe that God hears that, but yet when we confess a prayer or we confess praise to God or something like that, we think God doesn't hear that. Why is it that we think God sees all of our bad but doesn't see our good, or doesn't identify, you know, we say a prayer and we think, does God hear me? But if we say a bad word, we know God, we think God heard that one. Why is it we think that that death-dealing sin has more power than what God did in Christ? Hallelujah. The verdict on that one sin was the death sentence. The verdict on the many sins that followed was this wonderful life sentence. Hallelujah.
Says that the Spirit of God in us cannot sin. Cannot sin. That's what it says. Now, like you said, we deal with an immature new man. We make mistakes and we do all those things. But God took away the sin. Yes. He took away the sin. If we could just get that concept in our mind, that his power and his life-giving gift is a lot more powerful than what Satan had over us, what we had in Adam. But I thank God today that he said, the scripture said he took away the sin of the world. That means every man that receives Jesus Christ, the scripture said that spirit cannot sin.
That the spirit came from God which gave it.
You know, back whenever I first got saved.
Thank God. Thank God, John got saved.
I saw the Lord down the meadow, and when I went to look up on his face, I busted out in tears because I couldn't look up on his face, you know, because I was ashamed of myself. But little by little, day by day, year by year, you know, I've grown. And now I can see him as he is. He's the love of my life.
Yes, he is.
Hallelujah. Amen. And I thank God, you know, that Paul said it's here a little, there a little, you know, day by day, you know. And I've been saved now a good many years, well, around 38, I think. And God has always been with me. He's been with my family and all. And I asked him one time, I said, Lord, I said, you watch over my children, you know, and all. And the Lord spoke to my being. He said, John, he said, I always have.
Yes, he has.
He's always been ahead of me,
yes,
you know. And I thank God for his presence that he has in my life today.
Amen.
The old man's dead. The new one's coming forth.
Yes,
amen. Amen. Before our children ever belonged to us, they belonged to God. Amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah. If you ever want to know if this thing works, you need to hear those testimonies. You need to hear Brother John's testimony. You need to hear my dad's testimony, my mom's testimony. Hallelujah. There is nothing that God can't save. No one God can't save. Nothing God can't change. Hallelujah. In our life. So don't give up on anybody. Amen. Yep.
They come out and they told my brother that they had lost me. So they called up my wife and told her that I'd done passed on. So they went back into the operating room. My heart was still laid out. And so they went to put my heart back in my body and my heart started back up. Yeah, and in the meantime, I was in a great big wind tunnel. And like you hear a lot of people talk about the light at the end of the tunnel, but I know that light is within me. But I was floating in this tunnel, and I couldn't hardly even see across the tunnel. But the closer I got to the end of that tunnel, the brighter the light got. And whenever I went to go out of the end of the tunnel, I mean, it really got bright. And when I went to go out, that's when I woke up in the hospital.
Hallelujah.
God spared my life. Just like I think it was Hickai, he prolonged my life in years. And I thank him for that. I know that now that my life is his life. We're connected.
Absolutely. When they'd given him up, they said his heart's drying out. We don't think we can save him. We said, we're not letting him go. We're not letting him go. We started praying, believing, and God brought him back. Amen. Those kids need a dad. He's been a faithful dad to those kids. He's done an awesome job. Oh, yes, we do. Amen. We saw him raise him from the dead. Hallelujah. If death got the upper hand through one man's wrongdoing, can you imagine the breathtaking recovery life makes, sovereign life, and those who grasp with both hands this wildly extravagant life gift, this grand setting everything right that the one man, Jesus Christ, provides? Amen? Incredible. Verse 18. Here it is in a nutshell. Just as one person did it wrong and got us in all this trouble with sin and death. How many know Adam fell in the garden and got us into all this life of sin and death? But here it is in a nutshell. Just as one person did it wrong and got us all in this trouble with sin and death, another person, Christ Jesus, did it right and got us out of it. But more than just getting us out of trouble, he got us into life. Hallelujah. How many know he didn't just break the curse? He didn't just get us out of trouble, but he got us into the life, into life. Jesus said, I would that you have life and you have it more abundantly. Dan shared on that scripture one time, that word abundantly means more than enough. Hallelujah. That we live the abundant life. How many in here want to live the abundant life today through Christ? There are things that will rob some of your abundant life qualities, but how many know it doesn't interfere with what God did for you? It said he did it to God. He got only got us out of trouble with sin and death. Another person did it right and got us out of it. But more than just getting us out of trouble, he got us into life, and life more abundantly, the good life. Hallelujah. The life of Christ. Verse 19. One man said no to God and put many people in the wrong, but one man said yes to God and put many people in the right. All that passing laws against sin did was produce more lawbreakers, but sin didn't and doesn't have a chance in competition with the aggressive forgiveness we call grace. I like that. The aggressive forgiveness that we call grace, sin didn't and doesn't have a chance in competition with the aggressive forgiveness we call grace. When it's sin versus grace, guess what? Grace wins hands down, never a competition. His grace wins hands down. Hallelujah. Verse 21. All sin can do is threaten us with death, and that's the end of it. Grace, because God is putting everything together again through the Messiah, invites us into a life that goes on and on and on, world without end. Hallelujah. The aggressive forgiveness that we call grace, the grace of God. Now go on to Romans chapter 6, I believe is where that starts there. So it says, so what do we do? Keep on sinning so God can keep on forgiving? I should hope not. King James says, God forbid. If we've left the country where sin is sovereign, how can we still live in our old house there? How do we want to live in that same old country where we used to be? Verse 3. Or didn't you realize we packed up and left there for good? Hallelujah. When you buried it, you buried it. You left there for good. No going back. That is what happened in baptism. When we went under the water, we left the old country of sin behind. We came up out of the water. We entered into the new country of grace and new life in a new land. That's what baptism into the life of Jesus means. In a new country of grace, a new life in a new land. Hallelujah. That's what baptism means. When we are lowered into the water, it is like the burial of Jesus. When we are raised up out of the water, it's like the resurrection of Jesus. Each of us is raised into a light-filled world by our Father so that we can see where we're going in our new grace-sovereign country. Could it be any clearer? Our old way of life was nailed to the cross with Christ, a decisive end to that sin-miserable life, no longer at sin's every beck and call. What we believe is this. If we get included in Christ's sin conquering death, we also get included in his life-saving resurrection. We got included in his sin conquering death. We got included in his life-saving resurrection. That's good news today. Hallelujah. We know that when Jesus was raised from the dead, it was a signal of the end of death as the end. Never again will death have the last word. Hallelujah. When Jesus died, he took sin down with him, but alive, he brings God down to us. Hallelujah. How many know God is not in a country far, far away? He says, in him I live and move and have my being. I and my Father will come and take up our abode in you. He lives and resides in you. Hallelujah. From now on, think of it this way. Sin speaks a dead language that means nothing to you. God speaks your mother tongue and you hang on every word. You are dead to sin and alive to God. That's what Jesus did. Hallelujah. That means you must not give sin a vote in the way you conduct your lives. Don't give it the time of day. Don't even run little errands that are connected with that old way of life. Throw yourselves wholeheartedly and full time. Remember, you've been raised from the dead into God's way of doing things. Sin can't tell you how to live. After all, you're not living under that old tyranny any longer. You're living in the freedom of God. I mean, law gave sin power. So since we're out from under the old tyranny, does that mean we can live any old way we want? Since we're free in the freedom of God, can we do anything that comes to mind? Well, hardly. You know well enough from your own experience that there are some acts of so-called freedom that destroy freedom. Offer yourselves to sin, for instance, and it's your last free act. But offer yourself to the ways of God, and the freedom never quits. All your lives, you've let sin tell you what to do. How many know you? We don't trade our freedom from sin to a freedom and lose our freedom to some other bondage. Amen? We submit ourselves to God, and as we submit ourselves to God, He gives us the freedom that never quits. Verse 17. But thank God you've started listening to a new master. Hallelujah. Thank God you started listening to a new master. Romans 8:18. One whose command set you free to live openly in His freedom. I'm using this freedom language because it's easy to picture. You can readily recall, can't you, how at one time the more you did just what you felt like doing, not caring about others, not caring about God, the worse your life became and the less freedom you had. And how much different is it now as you live in God's freedom, your lives healed and expansive in holiness? As long as you did what you felt like doing, ignoring God, you didn't have to bother with right thinking or right living or right anything for that matter. But do you call that a free life? What did you get out of it? Nothing you're proud of now. Where did it get you? A dead end. But now that you've found you don't have to listen to sin tell you what to do and have discovered the delight of listening to God telling you what a surprise, a whole, healed, put-together life right now with more and more of life on the way. Hallelujah. Work hard for sin your whole life and your pension is death, but God's gift is real life, eternal life, delivered by Jesus, our Master. Hallelujah. That's good news today. Amen. How can we live in that old country when we've been brought into a new country through Christ, through the life that Christ gives in us? Hallelujah. And not just to set us free from sin, but to give us a life. Hallelujah. You don't have to raise your hand, but how many can say you've had a better quality of life since you've come to know Christ, since you've come to yield your life to Christ? Amen. You know, the testimony that John was sharing with you a while ago, that's not just talk. That is the power of God to change an old creature, an old nature, an old creation, and to make him new again. If he told you the stories, if he told you his history, if he told you where they come from, amen, the power of God to set you right, the power of God to make you whole, hallelujah. Delivered from alcohol, delivered from abusive relationships. They grew up in an alcoholic, abusive home. It was hereditary. It continued. Those things had covered over into their lives. They had covered into, you know, my dad's life and things like that. But the power of God met them. Amen? God met them. They had an encounter with Jesus Christ who changed who they were, who changed their nature, who changed their thought patterns, who changed their desires. Aren't you glad that God can change your desires today? Amen? And change the desires that you used to have for things that you struggled with. God can change those thoughts, change those desires, and change you to things that are profitable to you. Amen? The new life. Hallelujah. A God-fearing life. A life, abundant life. A life that we can live. And Paul instructs, I believe it is, on over in Galatians, says, stand fast, therefore, in the liberty wherewith Christ has made you free, and be not entangled again in the yoke of bondage. Hallelujah. Never again to allow a bondage to be yoked around your neck of any kind. Amen. Hallelujah. You've been set free. You've been set aright. You've been made whole, a new creature in Christ. You no longer have to come under the bondage of sin. You don't have to come under the bondage of the law. You don't have to come under the bondage of dictation that would cause you to be in bondage or struggle to any other thing, but you can live in the freedom of Christ. Amen. Hallelujah. That's a step by step, day by day. If you've never dealt with those sort of struggles, if you've never dealt with addictions, if you've never dealt with alcoholism and things like that, you may not understand somebody else's journey. You may not understand where they are. Hallelujah. But they may not understand where you are. But we all have to have grace one for another to minister grace, help, strength, because somebody needs to learn how to walk. Somebody needs to know how to get potty trained. Somebody needs to know how to get rid of the bobo. Somebody needs to know how to grow up into a mature man. Amen. Hallelujah. We didn't all just start out having it all together from the womb. Amen. We had to learn some things. How many are still learning some lessons in your life? Still learning how to walk, still learning how to hear, still learning how to respond to things. Thank God for His provision. Thank God for His mercies. The steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. His mercies never come to an end. They are new every morning, and great is thy faithfulness. Hallelujah. How many know when we're not faithful, He's still faithful? How many know when we're not in covenant, He's still in covenant? When we're not on top of things, He's still on top of things. Hallelujah. His mercies never come to an end. They are new every morning, and great is thy faithfulness, O Lord. When I wasn't faithful to you, you were still faithful to me. When I didn't have it all together, you put it all together for me. When I didn't have the strength of myself to walk, you gave me strength to walk. When I did not have it all under control, you gave me control in my life. Amen. The power of God to touch, to move, to heal, and give you life is in Christ Jesus. Hallelujah. That's what baptism is a symbolic act to say, I am no longer that person, and I refuse to dig them back up. Hallelujah. I refuse to live in that old country where sin was sovereign. Amen. Hallelujah. Because I'm living in a new grace-filled land, the grace of God, who gives me grace daily. They are new every morning. Aren't you glad that every day is a brand new day? Yeah. Hallelujah. Every day is a brand new day. That God helps us in every step of our life. There are choices we make. There are mistakes that we make. But even in the midst of that, how many know God is able to lead and direct and guide you into a abundant, spirit-filled life if you'll let Him? Amen. If you allow Him to work in your life, to give Him complete control, to give Him complete reign in your life. My desire, Lord, that You conduct my life. You order my... The Scripture says the steps of a righteous man are ordered of the Lord. Hallelujah. That He can order our steps. Now, we know that we're righteous because the Scripture said that he who knew no sin became sin, that I could become the righteousness of God. Hallelujah. In Christ Jesus. Thank God for the righteousness that is not through me, but is through Him. Amen. The grace of God that can change a life, that makes an old creature brand new. Amen. That raises us up to a higher place in Him. As Pastor Shirley sang, all you got to do is wade right in. Step right in to that living water and let His mighty Spirit take control. Hallelujah. Sometimes we get into our ankles, we still got control. We get into our knees, we still got control. We get into our loins, we still got control. But Ezekiel said, I came into the waters and they carried me away. I want to live in the waters where I don't have control, where He has control of my life. Amen. That He sweeps me away in His presence in that living water, wherever that my steps go, they are ordered of the Lord. Amen. Hallelujah. There is a spirit-filled, victorious life that we can live in Christ Jesus. Hallelujah. And I don't want to live anywhere else. I want to live in that spirit-filled, victorious life that we can have through Christ. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. God bless you.
That people that we love passes away. He said, you don't want to bring them home and set them on a chair. He said, and watch their life and their bodies decay. And he said, you want to bury that. You want to get rid of it. And he said, that's the way it is with the old man in your life. You don't want to watch that decay. You don't want to watch go downhill. You don't want to watch that death. You want to put that away and then leave it where you put it. Don't dig it back up. But he always used that example, and I thought it was a good example, you know, because we do, you know, have to do those things. Death is final, and we have to let it be final for the old man.
Amen. It's not that body of flesh that we desire anyway. It's the spirit, amen, that was in that body. Amen. Hallelujah. A new creature in Christ Jesus. Amen. Hallelujah. Stand with me this morning.